This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Sairam to our listeners. Welcome to Saturday News number 1107. I'm Glab Limoria of Sri Sathasai, International Organisation of New Zealand. Today we have Sister Paula, who says her journey of how Swami entered her life and began purifying her heart. Through deep conversations with Swami, she realized that everything in her life was a reflection of herself. By changing her perspective and actions, she discovered that she could transform her reality. So let's hear from Sister Paula.
Your wisdom. guest today is Sister Paula Martinez, who is joining us from Washington, D.C. Sairam, Sister Paula, thank you for joining Sai Soul 100.
Sairam.
Thank you. Please share your story.
I met Swami through a friend in Colombia. I am from Colombia, South America, born and raised in Bogota. And there, I was in college and or university, and a friend of mine knew that I saw auras and was interested on healing and energy healing, and she told me to meet a shaman that was coming from Ecuador. He was Colombian, but he was living there. And long story short, I went to see him just to discuss things. And he was doing some healing. So he asked me to wait on a little waiting room in the place where he was. What he told me was, you know, just look around and here, you know, have this magazine. You can read it. I'm going to be 20 minutes or something, 30 minutes. And this was a Psy magazine in Argentina. They have a beautiful Psy magazine, which is like 30 pages color magazine, and always in the middle of the magazine, there's a huge photo of Swami. And this photo was Swami's close up of a face, even bigger than, you know, real life. And I was opening, and, you know, I was just curious. But when I went to the middle of the page, his face came up from the paper and went down like 3D, like a hologram. And I was like, oh, wow. And to make a long story short, I read the whole magazine page, you know, cover to the end in that night. And I said, like, oh, my gosh, you know, I have to meet this guy. So so I went to a Psy center. It was the first time we went to Buttons, somewhere in Spanish, somewhere in Sanskrit. But the Arati back then was in Sanskrit, and with the camphor and everything and the flame. And the minute that started, my heart chakra just went like expanded. And I don't remember much after that. I remember just like coming back home. Swami says he's God or like Jesus Christ walking on earth. I want to go see him. As a parenthesis, when I was little, I used to tell my mom always, like, why wasn't I born, you know, when Jesus Christ was here? You know, why wasn't I born? I asked my dad as a graduation gift from college for a trip. And he said yes. And he thought, you know, I would come to US or Canada or Europe, which is kind of what, you know, Europe is what people wanted. But instead, I said, like, I want to go to India. You know, Swami made it possible. From the moment I was in the airport by myself in Colombia, in the gate, all the way to Italy, and then Italy, Bombay, and then Bombay, Bangalore, I was chaperoned by someone. I mean, him, of course, in different forms. A couple in front of me in the airplane from Bombay to Bangalore, they looked Indian, they were dressed like Indian, but when they're coming out of the airplane, you know, when you open up the compartments for your carry-ons, they spoke perfect Spanish. I was like, where are you guys from? And like, well, we're Venezuelans. And they offered me a taxi ride, and I didn't have a taxi. So he literally, with them, I was dropped off at the Ganesha gate. So that's one later. A few days after I went, I wasn't in Puttaparthi. I stayed there for 3 months and a half. But maybe, you know, the first couple of weeks, I started reading the Ramakatha that he wrote. And I mean, it was fascinating. I was like, I really loved it. I kind of placed myself in those times and kind of imagined this. And shortly after that, I had a dream of Rama. And of Rama, Sita, and Lakshmana. And this dream was so life. I mean, first of all, he was the most beautiful human being as Rama I've ever seen. It's like he has this presence and this love, and oh my gosh, it's like, oh. So in this dream, I come to him, and you know, it's like, oh, you know, like Rama is like, and he says, pure heart, like pure heart. And I said, like, yes, yes, pure heart. And he just very stern, he says, like, he just goes, like, no. Pure heart, like you don't. He didn't say no, but he says like no, like pure heart, with his finger. And what I understood is like I don't have a pure heart yet. And I was like, yes, Rama, yes. And he the third time he says like as a command, pure heart. And I was like, okay, I just, you know, kept quiet, and I I think I woke up and I was in bliss. And this was in Puth part. And I remember going to the darshan I did the canteen seva and then to darshan. I was, kind of roaming and, pure heart. Like, what do you mean, Swami? Like, what do you mean, pure heart? Like, I don't know what, okay, whatever. Be mindful that this was my first time in Puttaparthi, that I've just met Swami. I've probably read one book, and this was my second book, the Ramakatha. So I didn't know about, all the teachings of Swami. So in darshan, I go to the library, or no, the bookstore. And as I was entering, there's this book with a yellow cover by Dr. John Galbraith that is purifying the heart. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I took it, of course, and I bought it and I read it. And this book is amazing because it teaches very practical ways on what Baba says, how to get rid of your false self or your ego. It's a step of how to practice with day-to-day life. What you need to work on. We all know that Swami says, and I want to read a quote, God is not involved in either rewards or punishment. He only reflects, resounds, and reacts. He is the eternal, unaffected witness. So God or divinity only reflects, resounds, and reacts. And that is the basis of that book. And basically says, like, what do you practice with? Well, whatever's there, because it's a reflection and a reaction of you. So if someone is bugging you or something is, annoying you, you just have to, instead of reacting to it, you have to try to calm down and say, like, what is that reflecting of me? So I'll just give a couple of examples. But my examples are personal and I can give faith that it works. When I was in one of my first jobs, one very important job, I was promoted or change into a new role. And I found myself under a boss that, she was a good boss, but she had preferences, right? She preferred to work with someone out of the, let's say, all of the specialists that we were working with her. And so that was one thing. And then the other thing is that every time I've submitted a paper or a presentation, normally presentations, she would redline everything, like blood redlining, and I had to do it again. So there was nothing, never good enough for her. And, at the beginning, I was like, okay, I can do this better, I can learn. But, after 6 months, it was like nonstop. And I was like, to the point that it was like really annoying me. And I was, so instead of, kind of fighting and trying to complain and, going to HR, I said, like, okay, what is she reflecting? Like I said, like, Swami, please, please tell me, what is she reflecting that I need to work on? And I mean, I'm going to tell you right now what it was, but this took me easily 2 or 3 months of daily reflection. So after 2 or 3 months of asking and praying and saying, I realized that she was the first time that I was not being recognized. So I was an A+ student, in my school, in my kindergarten, at sports, I was always recognized. And I was used to being recognized. And part of my personality was being recognized. So here's the first authority figure that comes and does not recognize me. And I was like, huh, okay. So why does it bother me that she doesn't recognize me? Because of this and this and this, she does this and this. It's like, and after, I guess, a couple of other days after that, in praying and meditating, I said, so what if she doesn't recognize me? I'm not going to be less or more than if she does. It's like, I'm still what I am and I do my work because it's God's work. So I decided that. I was like, okay, I'm just not going to bother. And not in a bad way, if you know what I mean. I'm not going to be, whatever she says, whether she recognized me or not, it shouldn't affect me. That's kind of the conclusion. And so the next assignment was done or whatever, the next PowerPoint. And I was, I sent it to her via email and she said, like, okay, Paula, can we, comment on the presentation? And I was already for the feedback. It happened every week, negative. And for the first time, she literally says, like, well done. I like your presentation a lot. And I was like, I was so shocked because Swami says that in the book. And when you change, your reality changes. And I was like, oh my gosh. I stopped seeing her as someone who had favoritisms, as someone who was always, you know, denigrating my work. She completely transformed, but really I was the one who had transformed. And, you know, your true self, the ego is the one who needs to be recognized. Your true self, it doesn't, you know, the beautiful self you are doesn't need that. The other example that I remember is when I came to US in 2014, I started looking for a job, and it was really, really difficult. Really difficult. You know, I just didn't know the system, and but also, you know, so I guess I sent a lot of resumes, I applied to a lot of things, and it just didn't work. And I was getting very frustrated, and I was crying at some point. But again, I said, like, Swami, you know, this is reflecting something. Let me know what it is. And it took me again a couple of months because, yeah, that's the longest I've searched for a job. And I was like, what is it? And, you know, is it that, you know, A, B, whatever? You know how you kind of, oh, that's the other thing. Like, the reflection is never a straightforward reflection. It's something that you have to, I mean, it's not evident, but it is a reflection. So here the reflection was, I was attached to my status quo. So, or my education, or how do you call it? My status, basically. So I studied in Colombia's best university. I worked for like one of the top organizations, like a 500 Fortune over there. I was bilingual or trilingual. I mean, like, it was, I had the luxury to pick my job in Colombia. So it was really easy to get a job. It was really easy because it's just almost like if you were out of Harvard and like people are just kind of saying, please come work for us. So I was like, okay, interesting. And then, so the attachment there is, again, I was attached to where I have studied and where I have worked. And I thought I was, you know, this great professional just because of it. Here I come, and nobody has heard of Universidad de los Andes, or nobody has heard of the Corona organization, and nobody cares. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So, you know, I was attached. I started working, and it's like, okay, and I don't remember how specifically it happens, but shortly after, I'm saying like 1 or 2 days after that realization, and I prayed to Swami, you know, just help me get rid of this. A headhunter called, and they took my resume. They chopped it and rearranged it, and I started getting calls. And I got a job interview within a week. And then 2 or 3 job interviews within 3 weeks. And I wasn't, and you know, it was literally miraculous, you know, like I was like, after struggling for so long, it's like, it just changed like that. Again, you know, and it wasn't going to repeat itself, but I think that's one of the invitations that Swami gives us every day is, you know, if whatever it bothers you, you know, if it's, I don't know, the noise, the traffic, your kids, could be whatever. What you see on TV, could be a colleague. I think it's there to teach us. And if you don't take the teaching, it will come again. And so that's how I think he's been purifying my heart, like an onion, like peeling, you know, peeling an onion, one attachment at a time. And there's a lot of attachments still, but I think if I look back, he's done a great work at transforming my heart specifically. And I only want, you know, that's the other thing I learned is like, you can only transform yourself. People may ask you what you're doing. People close to you may, but you can only choose to change yourself.
Salam, Sister Paula. This is actually a beautiful story, and the segment is actually very, very nice, nicely well put together as well. Would you be able to share a few of your other stories with Swami?
So I don't know when, but this was, I don't know. Well, at some point you read about Swami saying it's good to repeat the name of God in Namasmara. So I was intrigued by it, and I took it. Oh, yes. So I started with Om Namah. No, I started with Om Sri Sai Ram, and then I started, and that I didn't kind of catch. And then I started with Om Sri Satya Sai Baba, Om Sri Satya Sai Baba, and eventually I told him, like, you know, this isn't working. Help me out. And at some point I started repeating Om Namah Shivaya. And I repeated Om Namah Shivaya for many, many years. like 8 or 9 years. After 8 years of repeated Om Namah Shivaya, a miracle happened. I was in a silent retreat in Portugal. And, you know, they were telling you, you know, this was a devotee of Ramana Maharshi, which Swami talks about a lot, about who you are and the who am I and questioning who am I or what am I. And they were explaining, you know, a million times, you know, that the practice of you have a thought, you see the thought going through, you ask who is that thought from, or who is this thought appearing to, and you say me and who am I, and then there's silence. And another thought comes and so on and so forth. But you stay in the silence and you don't push it. You know, if another thought comes, you keep on saying, who is this thought from? Who am I? So I was doing that and I didn't get a silence. I was like, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Who is this thought from? Like, I, who am I? Om Namah Shivaya. So I raised a question to the person who was leading this, again, a Ramana Maharshi devotee. And he said, I was very lucky that he got my question, but he says, like, so I told him just exactly what I told him. Like, I just don't get the silence. Sorry, I just get Om Namah Shivaya. I've been repeating it for 8 years or 9 years. It's the first thing, you know, I woke up, it was repeating. I went to sleep, it was repeating. It was like, it was nonstop. And it didn't matter, right? But for this exercise specifically, it was like, I just don't get it. And he said to me, who is repeating Om Namah Shivaya? And I was like, I don't know. Like, he said, are you repeating Om Namah Shivaya? And I was like, no, it's automatic. And he repeated again. He asked again, who is repeating Om Namah Shivaya? And I just said, like, well, I don't know. And at that moment, he said, God is repeating Om Namah Shivaya. And at that moment, it just stopped. And there was so much silence. And ever since, to go into silence, all I have to do is doing Om Namah Shivaya, and even now. So that was a great gift, because I experienced for the first time what it is to have a silent mind. And it's feasible and it's beautiful. And that's really what, you know, that's really who our true nature is, and the true language of God is silence. That's what Swami has said, and that is the silence.
Sairam, Sister Paula, thank you for sharing these beautiful stories, particularly you beginning your journey at college days, as a youngster, questioning, and then finding that magazine. It's amazing. You have a whole magazine dedicated to Swami Sai magazine that you came into your hands. And then when you opened that middle picture, you know, that experience of Swami coming directly at you. I mean, that's something that is just unbelievable for you to have witnessed it. And then, you know, Swami escorting you all the way to Bharti.
Yes.
That's amazing. I just can't imagine that, you know, Indian looking couple speaking Spanish and making you feel at home, Swami speaking the language, making you feel comfortable and saying, come, let's go to Bharti together, and taking you to Bharti and having so many experiences with Swami. And I just love how a simple book called Purifying the Heart, right, after your dream, it comes into your hands, right?
So it's the same day. It's like,
yes. There's the dream and there's reality, but they're all the same for you. You're reading this Ramakatha Rasavahini, right? Uh-huh. And then you get a dream. And in that
Rama.
Dream of Rama telling you purify pure heart.
Pure heart.
And then you get the book that says Purifying the Heart, which you ended up translating into Spanish as well, which is so wonderful. Right. Mm-hmm. And that every chapter in that book seems to have spoken to you and little by little purifying that heart. Yeah. So it's not accident that this book came into your
hands. No, not at all. It's a blessing. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I just love finally you were sharing your beautiful story of Om Namah Shivaya and the power of Namasmarana. All of us strive to have name of Lord in our inherently going on within ourselves, whether we have control over it or not. But that comes with the worldly practice.
Yes.
Right? That, then,
so I don't know if I mentioned that, but at the beginning it was hard. I mean, after 9 years, it was automatic. But at the beginning, it's you take practice. It's like there's a bad thought, Om Namah Shivaya. There's, you know, some Om Namah Shivaya. You want to criticize someone, Om Namah Shivaya. You want to do, you know, whatever, Om Namah Shivaya. And it just, at the beginning, it was hard. But if you follow your guru, because that's what Swami says, basically, it works.
Yeah. And then now Om Namah Shivaya, you know, it's coming from God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a beautiful realization.
Yes, it is. It's, I mean, everything is God, really. He's everything. I mean, we are everything. We are one with him. And he has said this, right? Like, if you point your vision outwards, you see the ego and the GV and all the world and all the things. But if you turn it inward, the same vision, you see God. But everything is really one. It just depends what you do with, you know, the attention or the vision.
Yes. And finally, I just love how everything that happens in our lives, people, experiences, is really a reflection of who we are. And if something is not going our way, you found out that you have to go within, look inside and see, identify what it is that you need to change. And as soon as you change, the problem, issues, people, those attitudes, mindsets of those people who are bothering us, that changes. Or it goes
mm-hmm.
away, right? And I love the statement that you made. And when you change, your reality changes.
Yeah, because the reality is a reflection of yourself. So if you change it, it changes. And that's why I brought, I'm like, I could have taken the book's examples, which are great, but I brought my own ones because I've lived it. And once you experience it, it's like, yep, it works. You know, it's just, you have to do the homework, but it works.
Yes. Sairam, Sister Paula, thank you so much for joining Sai Soul 100.
Thank you, thank you.
Sairam, dear listeners, thank you for listening to Sai Soul 100 with Sister Paula Martinez. I'm Prabha Swaminathan. Until next time, Jai Sairam.
Was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.